If you have a child heading off to college in the fall, time is running out to apply for financial assistance. I am Rob West. Of course, I'm talking about the free application for federal student aid form known as FAFSA. If you haven't filed it yet, you still have time, but not much. I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, the deadline for submitting your FAFSA is this Friday, June 30th. Fortunately, you can fill one out and file it online at FAFSA.gov. That's FAFSA.gov. Submitting a FAFSA is the necessary first step in receiving either grant or loan money from the Department of Education. It's easy to get loan money, but obviously you want to borrow as little as possible. Many graduates take decades to pay off their student loans and dearly wish they'd borrowed less. Now, let's go over the types of aid that you might receive by filling out a FAFSA. First, there's the federal Pell Grant. This is an income-based grant program for full or part-time undergrad students, but exceptions are made for students seeking a postgrad teacher certification. The less your family income, the more likely you are to receive a Pell Grant, which could be as much as $7,400 for 2023. Next is the Federal Supplemental Educational Opportunity Grant. This one's administered by individual schools, but not all participate, so you may want to check with your school's financial aid office. It's also income-based with a maximum grant of $4,000 a year. If you plan on being a teacher, you'll want to look into the Teacher Education Assistance for College and Higher Education Grant. With the convenient acronym TEACH, qualifying for a TEACH grant could get you up to $4,000 a year, but you'll be required to complete a teaching service obligation. Failure to fulfill that obligation will get the grant converted to a loan, and you'll have to pay it back with interest. So make sure you're committed to teaching before you accept the money. Next is the Iraq and Afghanistan Service Grant. If you've lost a parent or guardian due to military service in those countries and you were under the age of 24 or attending college at the time, you could be eligible for up to $7,400 for 2023. Now, since you'll be filing at this late date for the 23-24 academic year, a lot of the available grant money has probably been dispersed, so you're much more likely to receive assistance in the form of federal work-study programs. These are funded by the feds, but administered by the schools. As the name implies, they provide undergrad and graduate students with the chance to work and earn money for their education expenses. The work could be related to your major and may not necessarily be located on campus. With these work-study jobs, you'd earn at least the federal minimum wage and possibly more depending on the job. Again, check with your school's financial aid office for details and availability. Now, we get into the dangerous area of federal financial assistance, student loans. I say dangerous because the system makes it incredibly easy to borrow, both for students and their parents. College students graduating in 2023 who took out loans owe an average of nearly $30,000. The average length of time to pay that off will be around 10 years, with a monthly payment of just under $300. Of course, a great many students borrow more than that and take longer to pay it back. Worse, many students who borrow fail to get a degree that could lead to a higher salary, meaning it will be even more difficult and take longer for them to repay their loans. The lesson here is, of course, borrow as little as possible, and if you do borrow, make sure you graduate. Then make sure you graduate with a degree that gives you marketable skills that employers are willing to pay you for. It's great to pursue dreams, but attending college is as much a financial decision as anything else. Remember Proverbs 22:7? The borrower is slave to the lender. That said, here are the types of loans that could be offered after filling out the FAFSA. First, the Federal Direct Subsidized Loan. This is needs-based and allows you to skip interest payments while you're in school. Then there's the Federal Direct Unsubsidized Loan. This one isn't needs-based, so basically anyone can get it. Finally, the Federal Parent Plus Loan. No mystery here. Parents take out these loans to put their children through school, but we don't recommend it. Your child will have many more years to pay the money back than you will. Again, the deadline for submitting a FAFSA is this Friday. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The Gospel of John tells us stories no one else does. Like Nicodemus, he was a leader among the Jews, a Pharisee, a scholar. He knew his Bible, but he came to Jesus at night for a secret discussion. He thought he was there to bring Jesus in line, but Jesus was there to save his soul. He told Nicodemus about his kingdom. You must be born again. He told him about the Spirit. The Spirit blows where it wants. You can't see it, but its work is unmistakable, invisible, yet powerful. You can't see a new heart, but you can see a changed life. The Spirit brings us Christ, and we're born again. Where's he blowing today? Get to know Jesus more. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
My wife, Jan, played in the marching band in high school and then in college. They all had matching uniforms, but when they played the music, nobody played exactly the same thing. As believers, unity of the faith, we're not the same. We're different. We have different parts to play. But there can be unity as we play our part in Christ Jesus.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's right, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today as we apply God's wisdom to the financial decisions and choices you're making today. Let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Wyoming. Russ, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Rob. I've actually asked you this one time before, and if you've clarified, I'd appreciate it. You said that everyone should fill out a FAFSA, but what you just listed a minute ago, we don't qualify for any of that. And so I'm wondering if that's still the case. And then the gentleman who took my call a couple years before college, is there other options if we're not going to qualify financially for anything that you listed?
Yeah, you dropped out there for just a moment. What was the second half of your question?
Oh, the gentleman who took the call mentioned maybe sometimes people do not have their child on their taxes, and that's a way to, is there other ways to do it if you're not going to qualify income-related wise?
I see. Yeah, you know, it really is important because it goes beyond just the loans that you may or may not qualify for, either subsidized or unsubsidized. It really gets into grants and even scholarships. So, for instance, I've got a high school just rising freshman in college. He's off to college. We're not going to qualify for need-based aid, and yet we automatically did the FAFSA last fall just because it was essential to qualify for some of the grants and scholarships that he was ultimately awarded just based on academic success. They use the FAFSA as a key determinant of that scholarship just to get all of your information in. So, even if you don't think he's going to participate in a work study program or you don't want to take a subsidized or unsubsidized loan, I think just the possibility of grants and scholarships is enough reason just to go ahead and get it in.
Okay, so you're saying even independent scholarships still use the FAFSA as part of the requirement, possibly then. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. So if you don't meet the requirements for need-based scholarships, the college could award a merit-based scholarship instead. And many times they will require the FAFSA in order to do that.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much for clarifying. I appreciate that.
All right. Listen, it sounds harder than it is. It really won't take you that much time. As long as you've got your tax return handy, you can knock it out pretty quickly. So I think I probably did it in about an hour at home one night. But I would definitely get it in. Just take the opportunity to get every possible benefit you can before they head off to college. Thanks for calling today, Russ. God bless you, my friend. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to tackle your question, whatever you're thinking about. Maybe there's been something kind of gnawing at you over the weekend related to dumping debt or living within your budget, staying on track. Maybe it's communicating with your spouse about money or even your long-term savings as we now navigate some challenging times, some volatility in the stock market as of late. Maybe you're wondering, how do you approach all of that? Whatever that question is that you have today, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Let me take a couple of emails as well today. We hear from folks every week at AskRob@faithfi.com. We try to get a couple of these on the air as often as we can. Carol writes to us, the Bible is very clear on helping widows in their afflictions, but what do you do when the affliction is a romance scam? My sister is a widow who got involved with a romance scam. She sold her house and her car, gave all the money to the scammer. To this day, she truly believes he is going to build a mansion for her. How do you help someone who still has blinders over her eyes? Wow. This is a tough one, Carol. I appreciate you writing to us about this. You know, one thing you might try is to bring in a third party, perhaps a financial advisor, could even be a pastor or a trusted friend to explain to her what is happening. Often people have difficulty accepting advice from family members, especially siblings. So I think perhaps having that that trusted third party could help her to see that this is obviously something she needs to be far from. If she won't accept your advice, all you can do is love her and be there for when she finally realizes that she's been scammed. To the extent you're able, you may want to help her financially at that point, get back on her feet. But the most important thing you can do is to continue to show your love for her. You know, I think also there's just so many, because this is so prevalent, perhaps just pulling up some third party, maybe news articles or stories showing her that this is going on and it's going on to a large extent with others might help to open her eyes. If you know some of the details of what has been told to her, and you could find a story that parallels that very closely, because oftentimes it's a pretty typical model that these scammers will follow, perhaps that will help to open her eyes as well, as you just say, listen, don't take my word for it. I'd like for you just to read a few of these stories that are from trusted news outlets about what's going on. You may even find some at a few of the government websites, like the Federal Trade Commission or others, that could help to bring validity to the concerns that you have. So hopefully that that helps you, Carol. I know this one's difficult, so just ask the Lord to intervene here and open her eyes as to what's going on, and hopefully she will follow suit here before too long. Thanks for writing to us today. If you have a question you'd like read on the air, send it along. Ask Rob at faithfi.com, and we'll see if we can get to it for you. All right, back to the phones we go to a first-time caller in Mississippi. Hi, Tommy. Go right ahead.
Yes, hello.
Hi there. How can I help you?
I was just wondering what your advice is for my retirement. It is in Thrift Savings Plan, government program, and I'm concerned with that.
Sure. I can understand. Tommy, do you mind if I ask your age?
I'm 70.
Okay. Very good. And do you know how the funds in your TSP breaks down among the five primary investment options?
I just have it in the safest government.
Okay.
I don't have it in anything, just the government. So it's not earning much right now.
Yes.
I have
just
it in high risk.
Just kind of treading water at the moment. That makes sense.
Right.
Are you pulling an income from this, or is this just money that's growing for the future?
Growing for the future. I guess I have to start pulling in two years, but I'll probably start before that.
Yeah, got it. But you don't have a need for this money. Your bills are covered through Social Security or something else?
Right.
Okay.
Through pension and Social Security. But I'm going to probably have to start using some of it.
Yeah, very good. Let me ask you, are you open to taking a little bit of risk with this in an effort to try to get a little bit better return? Or are you wanting to stay in something that's guaranteed?
No, I could do a little risk.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, typically what we would say on the more conservative end of the spectrum at age 70, you would want to be, 70-30, 70% fixed income and bonds, 30% stocks. The 30% in stocks would give you the ability to see a little bit of growth in the portfolio. The bonds would largely just be the income portion. Bonds have been in a challenging situation as the interest rates have been rising the last year, but we're entering into a period where bonds are going to do pretty well. And so one option would be to say, okay, I'm going to move, out of the government into a mix of, stocks and bonds. Whatever portion you didn't want to leave in the governments, the rest of it I would do in that 70-30 mix toward the F fund, which is fixed income, and then the rest of it in a mix of the C, S, and I. Stay on the line. I've got to take a break, but we'll talk some more.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word,
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Tommy in Mississippi. She's got money in a thrift savings plan. She's not living on it. She'll have a required minimum here in a few years, but currently she's got her bills covered with Social Security and an annuity. But with this substantial TSP account, she's been 100% as of late in the G fund. That's the government securities fund. It's not paying a whole lot, less than 2%, but it's obviously very safe. We were talking about whether it might make sense for her to move it into a more active portfolio, certainly increasing the risk, but still staying conservative, but giving her an opportunity to grow this money and offset the effects of inflation. And what I was saying is, typically at 70 years old, Tommy, you might think in terms of a 70-30 portfolio, 70% fixed income, 30 in stocks. In the TSP, there's only one fixed income option, which is the F fund. There are three for the stock portion, and you could, I'd probably have whatever your stock allocation is, I'd probably have about 30% in the international, the I fund, and then I'd take the other 70% of that stock portion and I'd split it between the small cap and the common stock, the C and the S. So you could basically have a third, a third, a third, or a little bit, less in the international. But that would obviously give you, you know, the ability to have a better return. But with that comes an incremental increase in risk. So give me your thoughts on all that.
I did do that, actually. That's the way it was. And then I got concerned about what might be happening in our economy. So then I decided G Fund was going to be safe for a while till we figured out what was happening, you know, economically in our country. Yeah. So you're suggesting I go back to that?
Yeah, I am. Okay. And I think it's a good time to do it. And especially because, I mean, typically if you would have called me before you went to the G Fund, I'd say, you know, let's hold off. The challenge is that when you try to pick the entry and exit point, it just historically, it doesn't work because, you know, oftentimes we'll go in at the wrong time, get out at the wrong time, and we'll miss the recovery typically, which typically happens before we're out of whatever problems we're in. The market looks out 6 to 12 months. So, you know, I would expect that before the recession's over, even if we hit a recession this year, which most economists think we are, the market will recover prior to the end because it's looking beyond that. The reason why you might consider going ahead and starting to move back in to that allocation you were in previously right now is because in the fixed income space, we're pretty close to the top end of what the Federal Reserve will do in terms of interest rate hikes. We may not head down in the near future. It may be later this year, early next year, but we're not going to head too much higher either. I mean, the economy just can't handle much more than we have now. The question is how long will it stay here? So as those interest rates start to come down, whenever they do, that fixed income portion of the TSP will do really well. Plus, you're already getting these better yields that come with these higher interest rates today. So that's a good reason. The other thing is that although we could retest our lows from last October on the stock side, If we get into a recession, you know, we haven't fully recovered. And so I think there's still some upside here. I think the question is, are you going to be willing to kind of stomach that, you know, if we were to get into a recession? Because what I don't want you doing is jumping in and jumping out, because that just tends to be a losing proposition. But if you can take a long-term perspective and say, listen, even at age 70, if the Lord tarries, I need this money to, you know, last 3 decades or more potentially. And if that's the case, part of, you know, the being a good steward in this is trying to grow it, because right now I'm kind of going backwards given what's going on with inflation. But you have to take that long view on it. And I think, you know, this portfolio that I described would still be on the more conservative end of that risk spectrum, given that only 30% of it would be at the risk of the stock market. Does that all make sense, though?
It does, and I was wondering also if leaving it in TSB as opposed to moving it to Fidelity or some other option like that.
You certainly could. I mean, the benefit of the TSP is just real simple. I mean, there's only 5 options, and you just kind of pick the 5 that make the most of the 5 in the way that makes the most sense for your allocation in risk tolerance. If you move it out, you're going to have an unlimited number of investment options, and that's great as long as you have a good sense of what you want to do with it. Would you be interested in hiring an advisor to manage it for you?
Potentially.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, I assume you have a substantial amount of money in the TSP. Do you mind me asking how much is in there?
Yeah, I do. Probably, I do.
Okay, so substantial amount, doesn't matter the amount. And given that, you and your husband have worked a long time to build this up. And so now I think turning it over to somebody who, in light of your goals and objectives and your values as a believer and your risk tolerance, not theirs, they could build a portfolio and wake up every day thinking about this. They would have the expertise, but also they're not going to make emotional decisions, you know, in terms of getting in and out of the market. And so if you were open to that, I would say absolutely, you'd want to roll it out to an IRA, which is not a taxable event, and then they could manage it there. And the other benefit to that, Tommy, is that when you get to the place where you're ready to begin taking required minimum distributions out of the IRA, you could actually do what are called qualified charitable distributions, where let's say you're currently giving to ministries or charities or your church out of cash, out of your savings, or out of your cash flow, and you wanted to instead do that from your IRA, you could satisfy your required minimum and get the full amount going to the charity without adding it to your taxable income for the year, which is a great way for somebody like you who doesn't need this money, but in a couple of years is going to be required to take it out. You could just send it straight to a charity or your church, and it doesn't get added to your taxable income. That's only available through the IRA, and that would be another option for you.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you for that advice. Yes,
you're welcome. If you wanted to interview a couple of advisors, I'd recommend 2 to 3. We recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. It's the only industry designation for men and women who've been highly vetted and met high standards in biblical wisdom, also character and competence. They've also signed a statement of faith. You can find a CKA at our website, faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. We'll be right back. Tommy, thanks for your call.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
You couldn't say anything challenging Dr. Fauci or you were spreading disinformation. But I mean, you can look up Bigfoot right now. Is Facebook going to come in, or is YouTube going to come in and say this is misinformation? No, they don't do that. They only do that against conservative ideology on politics or government or culture. Or if you disagree with Dr. Fauci.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to join us Friday, July 14th for the Hearts of Fire virtual event. You'll meet four courageous women who showed incredible commitment to Christ in the face of intense persecution. This special event is free. Hear these inspiring testimonies of costly faith, plus worship led by Michael W. Smith. You can watch from wherever you are. Register online at heartsevent.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Coming up at, in the next segment, Bob Dahl will stop by with his market outlook for the week. We'll look forward to hearing from Bob in just a few minutes. Back to the phones we go. By the way, a few lines open today, 800-525-7000 for your calls and questions on anything financial. To Iowa we go. Chad, thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just calling. I was curious, in this too happy world we're living in, we're looking at a way to distance ourselves from our wealth, if that makes sense. And I don't know if there's a way to do that. I heard there is with trusts or different things where if somebody would come after you with litigation, basically the lawyer's looking for deep pockets. Yeah. Your wealth is just kind of hidden from lawyers, I guess.
Sure. Is one spouse more susceptible, this Chad, than the other because of a job situation or something?
Yes, sir. My wife works in medicine, and so there's always lawyers looking come after that.
So. Sure. Well, I can give you some general thoughts, and then I think your next step is to visit with an estate planning attorney, someone who can really look at your specific situation and help advise you through this. And I can certainly understand why you would want to think about this. Number one, of course, is to have adequate insurance for all of this, both professional liability as well as, you know, an umbrella policy. And so I think, you know, that's going to be your first line of defense, is to have, whatever insurance is needed to offset this risk. I think with regard to assets, you know, beyond what insurance coverage you might have, would be to look at, you know, first of all, you could have an irrevocable trust, not a revocable trust, but an irrevocable trust where you transfer assets to a spouse or children. You need to be careful about that, but that can, of course, give you a lot of protection. In some cases, you can retitle assets. So, for instance, one of the things to talk to the attorney about might be retitling a property as what's called tenants by the entirety. Essentially, what happens with that title on the property is that it shields the property from the personal debt of either spouse individually, but not jointly held debt. So in this case, if one spouse is sued or otherwise incurs a liability, assets held in a tenancy by the entirety are exempt from the claim. So that could be one option with respect to real estate, where it would be protected from a lawsuit that comes her way as opposed to yours. Anytime you put money into a qualified retirement plan, those assets are generally shielded from litigation, so you could max out qualified retirement plans. That'd be another way to transfer assets into a more protected vehicle. And then, of course, you know, looking at other legal instruments like a family limited partnership or an LLC could also be a way to go. So I think the next step, again, is to visit with an attorney who can guide you through this. But there are options available. You know, many of those that I mentioned today, I think, could be tools that you all could take advantage of.
Very good.
Okay.
Good.
All right,
yes,
Chad. Sir. Listen, all the best to you. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. To Arkansas. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Hi. Yes. I'll be 65 in a couple weeks. Of course, you know how you get everything through the mail, all the Medicare and stuff like that. But I was told yesterday at church that I can still get on Medicare without getting on Social Security. Is that true?
Yes. The in terms of Medicare, it does not require you to be on Social Security. So have you filed anything with regard to Medicare yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. And when do you turn 65?
July 7th.
Okay. All right. And so in terms of Medicare, it's really critical that you sign up as soon as you're eligible, assuming you don't have any other health coverage. But you can wait on Social Security to avoid a reduction in benefits or boost them as much as possible. So are you thinking about holding off on the Social Security portion?
Yes. My full benefit thing will be when I'm 66 and 8 months, and that's when I plan on drawing Social Security.
Okay.
So it'd be like 20 more months.
Okay. All right, good. And are you going to need the money at that point, or do you have the ability to wait even longer?
Well, I could probably wait, but I had heard you talk about, you know, you would have to live to like 82 or 84.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. You
That's
know,
right. Generally really about 12 paid. Years to get that paid back to you, what you would have given up between full retirement and age 70. But then at that point, you'd have that higher check for the rest of your life. So something to at least consider.
Right.
But I think the bottom line is, you know, you need to sign up for that Part A, the hospital, and the Part B, the medical insurance, when you're first eligible. To make sure that you don't have a gap in coverage or have to pay a penalty. And you need to do that here 3 months before you turn 65, up until 3 months after you turn 65. You have that six-month window. But with regard to Social Security, you could continue to hold off on that.
Okay, perfect. And so you would recommend me getting the B then, correct?
I would, yes, absolutely. And then I'd also look at either a Medigap or an Advantage plan on top of that, and you can certainly take a look at which option is better for you. Hopefully that's helpful for you, Jeff. We appreciate you calling today, sir. If we can help further, don't hesitate to give us a call back. Let's see, to Kentucky. Hi, Tyler. Go ahead.
Yes, I just got a quick question. Me and my wife was looking at some houses, and I just got ours paid off. And why do I get penalized when they do a hard credit pull just for wanting to see what I'm available, you know, kind of funds are available? That why do we get penalized for that?
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. And, you know, it's a pretty mysterious algorithm that's used by the credit scoring companies. But the bottom line is it just shows that you're trying to take on more debt. And so, you know, as they look at, you know, tens of thousands of credit reports and analyze who pays back their loans and who doesn't, they've come up with this credit scoring formula that says how likely you are to repay as agreed. And what they find is those who are actively out there seeking additional credit have a tendency to be a higher risk. It's one piece of the formula, so it's not, you know, everything, but it does affect you. Now, what you need to recognize is there's two things that are key here. Number one is a credit pull that you do, a soft inquiry, does not affect you. And I realize any lender who's seriously considering you is going to want to pull their own lender's report. That is considered a hard inquiry and will pull your score down temporarily. But you could at least pull your own credit with your own credit score. And as you're talking to folks, depending on what type of loan you're looking for, you could say, hey, I have a 720 or whatever it might be. And although they're not going to base any decisions off of that, that would at least allow you to begin the conversation. Now, at some point, they're going to need to pull a hard inquiry, and that is going to affect you. Keep in mind, during a two-week period, though, any inquiries that are pulled for the same potential loan are considered one. So you have the ability to have multiple lenders pull your credit file in a two-week period where it's not going to count as individual hard pulls. It's just going to all be seen as one. So hopefully that helps you, Tyler. But any decline in your credit score is going to be temporary. It will bounce back. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back with much more.
You know, there's so much peer pressure and so many eroding factors in our culture that are bringing in the idea that gender is fluid and that somehow orientation is fixed, which is the other way around.
Satan is a specialist in confusion and manipulation in order to fool people into believing his lies.
You know, what are the intrinsic value of femininity? What is the intrinsic value of masculinity? Is it okay to be a man? Is it okay to be a woman?
And even using the church in his schemes.
It's a place where the church ought to be able to respond more graciously.
In the special edition DVD from the AFA Cultural Institute, Practical Ways to Minister to the Sexually Broken, Stephen Black and Laura Lee Stanlake help us understand and deal with the questions and struggles of identity and show us how we can effectively and gracefully share God's truth. Order it today when you visit resources.afa.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. First, though, it's Monday, which means Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, and he joins us each Monday with his outlook on the markets and the economy. And Bob, I had the chance to review your Dahl's deliberations this morning, and it seems like pretty much a mixed bag here, as it's been for quite a while. I mean, still a lot of signs that this economy is holding up, and yet we're also seeing some weakness come in, and we see stocks are still expensive, right?
All of that is true, Rob, which makes for a confusing outlook. I think that means we just have to be selective in what it is that we own. We can't be out of the market. It can run away from us, as it has. Conversely, I think having all our eggs in the high growth basket, which has led for so long, can be troublesome for the valuation reason you gave. So lots of cross currents. The one I'd point to last week was the incredible housing start number, Rob, up 22% for the month of wow. May. And that's the best we've seen in well over a year.
Yeah. What does that say? I mean, is that a leading or a lagging indicator economically speaking?
Housing is typically a leading indicator because it's so interest rate sensitive. Changes in interest rates affect housing more quickly than other parts of the economy. So interest rates have been moving up, at least at the front end of the curve, and yet there are lots of demographic reasons and supply-demand reasons why housing's doing well. We're not building enough new houses in particular.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, just given the shortage of homes in this country, that's a really important number going forward, because we've got to rectify that at some point, or else these housing prices are going to continue to climb, huh?
Exactly. I mean, here we are worried a year ago about how high prices of homes had moved up, a little bit of economic weakness, concerns about a potential recession, and yet housing prices have refused to go down.
Yeah, amazing. Bob, you had a comment in this week's deliberations about the performance of dividend-paying stocks. I know this is an important part of many retirees' portfolios, but even bigger than that, give us the update there.
Yeah, dividend stocks have really struggled. Their first 6 months of this year, the worst first 6 months of a year since 1999. Reason, of course, is rising interest rates. Yeah. As the Fed has raised rates, as rates out the curve move from very low levels to somewhat higher levels, the interest in near-term dividends and income has lessened in the market as people have said, let me buy something that's going to grow long-term, and that's pushed the price of those growth stocks higher that tend to have low or no dividends.
Interesting. All right, Bob, of course, there's always a lot going on internationally, especially on the geopolitical front. Obviously, we had not only the ongoing war in between Russia and Ukraine, then we have this potential coup over the weekend. We also, you're making some comments about China and Taiwan in this week's Dahl's deliberation. So give us an update beyond our borders.
Yeah, beyond our borders, how many hours do you have? As you inferred, the China one in particular, we are hearing, as many are, that a growing number of experts on China are saying China seems to be making its move, at least in planning stages, for annexing Taiwan to China, which would be very troublesome from the world geopolitical scene.
Yeah, no doubt. Despite all of that, though, Bob, you still feel like an allocation internationally in a properly diversified portfolio is important, right?
Sure do. Those markets are still cheaper than the U.S. Europe, many of the countries are doing a bit better, but there are problems. And then parts of the emerging world are doing better. Japan's economy has done okay. So with the U.S. so much more expensive on a price-earnings basis than the rest of the world, we want investors to have at least a toe in the water outside the U.S.
All right. Sum this up for us, Bob, as we head toward the end of the quarter. Where do we find ourselves today from the market and economic standpoint?
Well, you know, you need to maintain your positions, but be very cognizant of where prices are. If a recession were to rear its ugly head, the stock market would have some trouble. So this choppy back and forth that we've seen is likely to continue until we get the closer to the whites of the eyes of recession, which keep getting pushed out in time for some of the reasons we talked about earlier in this call.
Yeah, if I would have told you at the beginning of the year that we'd be finishing 6 months in with the S&P up 14%, the NASDAQ up 30%, would you have believed it?
You know, I would have said, what planet are you living on?
Right.
But yeah. Here we are.
Here we are.
I need to point out the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 1%. The average stock is up 3%. So it has been misleading because of those mega cap growth stocks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Bob, always appreciate your insights, my friend. Have a great week.
You the same. God bless.
All right, that's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations, his weekly investment commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, we've got a little bit of time left in our broadcast today, maybe room for one or two at the most questions for you. If you've got to call 800-525-7000. Let's take a moment, though. You know, we always love to hear from listeners who've been impacted by the principles principles, the wisdom that's shared on this program, not because it comes from me, but because it comes straight out of God's Word. And we know that God's Word is living and active, and it will change your life. Take a listen to this listener testimony.
Because I started listening several years ago, and I was in terrible credit card debt, and I just felt like I was drowning. I couldn't get out, and I was so depressed and so stressed. I heard Rob talk about Christian credit counselors, and I was in the program for 3 years, and they thought that it was going to take me 4.5 years to pay back my $14,000 in credit card debt. The program was so wonderful, and my counselor was so encouraging, and I was so motivated by the program, and so many of my behaviors changed throughout the process. I became debt-free last month. It completely changed everything about the way I handle money. I just wanted to express how much I appreciate the program and Christian credit counselors.
That's powerful. $14,000 in credit card debt, now completely debt-free. And I love that she said it's changed everything about how I see and handle money. You know, my experience is that when we get our financial lives right, it has a ripple effect throughout the rest of our lives, ultimately leading us into a more intimate relationship with the Lord. That's our goal and aim here on this program each day, is to allow you to confront truth from God's Word, the big ideas and themes and passages, and apply that to your financial life so you can live with an eternal perspective, holding God's money loosely, being able to give generously, and live with the peace of mind that you heard described by that listener a moment ago. You know, folks, as we head toward the end of our fiscal year here, June the 30th at FaithFi, we would invite you to be a financial supporter of this ministry. We do what we do only because of your listener support. And if you'd like to give any amount, and we mean that, it'll take all of us coming together to help us close our gap between now and the end of the month. This week, we would invite you to head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and just click the give button, and whatever you could give to support our work would be an incredible blessing. Again, faithfi.com, just click give, and thanks in advance. As we round out the program today, let me encourage you with something. You know, one of the questions we hear so often on this program is related to what I'll call subsidizing adult children. Whether it's helping your teenager buy cleats for baseball, well, that's a little more expected. They're living at home. But what about that 30-year-old daughter's mortgage or your adult son's electricity bill? You know, every family situation is different, and some adult children with special needs and other significant issues may need support indefinitely. And we understand that, and you've got to deal with each of these situations differently. But if that's not the case in your family, the question is, should we offer to help out if they're just going through a rough patch? Well, it's all about context, isn't it? If your daughter has a job and lives within her means but can't afford a necessary surgery, of course you might consider a gift to help her with that need, because she'll continue to be financially responsible. But if your grown-up son asks for cash to tide him over because he keeps overspending, well, you might want to watch out. If your adult daughter wants you to co-sign on a loan because she can't maintain a good enough credit score, well, absolutely beware. You just really need to be thoughtful about this. So how do you approach it? Well, I would say first, pray. Ask the Lord to give you some wisdom. Remember, there's nothing wrong with including your kids in your long-term financial plans. But when the unexpected happens and you decide to help, I think you need to have a frank conversation before making any financial commitment. Insist on financial accountability and transparent communication. Before you extend help, clarify your financial expectations. The goal is for your child to be living within his or her means and on a budget as much as possible before you extend any assistance. And then give any financial gift a timeline so they know the help is temporary. Put it in writing. If it feels uncomfortable, remember that good stewardship requires accountability. It helps for everyone to have the plan in writing to avoid miscommunication. And then point your children to places where they can get wise counsel. They may need to be able to solve these problems on their own with a little outside the family help. Listen, I know watching adult children struggle can be really hard, but it's important for you to weigh the matter carefully and decide when and if your help is needed. We certainly want to try to reinforce the right disciplines and behaviors so we don't lead them toward making ongoing financial missteps. I hope that's helpful for you today in an area that can be a really tough decision to make. Hey, thanks for being along with us today. Thank you to Jim Henry. Thank you to Devin Patrick as well. Also, Pat Montague handling our phones today. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.